O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but the opening words of that reading, I think, amongst the most chilling words in Scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father is in heaven. And the difficulty is with that particular passage, because it kind of makes us uncomfortable, we skip down to the story of the wise and foolish builders, because that feels a little more palatable, because it seems to be that, we wouldn't argue, would we, that wisdom is a good thing to have, and yeah, we ought to build our lives on solid foundation. But we miss the point, because that piece begins with therefore. Jesus was saying something before that was to apply to the story, and it lay in those opening words, Lord, Lord. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see, it's very easy to have the right words, indeed the right language, but the wrong heart. And it's very easy to lay that aside. It's very easy to put on a face that says, I have got it all right, and actually miss the point of it all. And the heart and compassion of God is that we wouldn't be found in that place, hence the warning. That we wouldn't be in that place whereabouts we would say the words, but it actually never reaches the heart. We might say the words, but we fail to do the will of our Father who is in heaven. And we might go through all the performances of being able to cast out demons and do miraculous signs, but before God, that's absolutely of no consequence, because it is the heart that matters. And our language must match the heart. And I want us to keep that in mind as I say what I'm going to say this morning. We've been looking at the subject of discipleship, and today we're going to look at one of the most basic things that will change our culture, and it is our language. It's having a right language. And it's very easy sometimes when someone starts to change language, a few get it and a lot don't, but they go along with it and they just say the words simply because that seems the right thing to do. You see, what we say and how we say something forms the basis of attitude and action. Indeed, we're told that language creates culture. And I suspect that most of us never even give that a thought. We may even doubt its truth. I mean, who would imagine that what we say or how we talk impacts the culture we live in now? But it does. Whether it's the culture of a family or the workplace or a sports club or a church, yes, usually leaders have a greater impact, but we all contribute to it. We can watch this in our homes and amongst our friends. The latest fad words don't seem to take long to catch on. And then we find ourselves using them, whether we like it or not. In fact, some of the times when the words come up, we think, I just start going to use that. I mean, why are they saying that? I'm not going to do that. But I'd almost guarantee that in time you find yourself doing it, whether you know it or not. And the attitude that goes with it gets moulded by it. Mostly we cannot think of when certain words became included, let alone notice the shifts in attitude they brought with them. Most notably, we have seen this in the use of inclusive language and the way we speak of children and of violence in the home. The whole language that has grown up around computers and tablets, that's always been a bit of a mystery, and for some it's still a mystery, and for those who have used them for over 25 years, it's a mystery anyway. But there's a whole language that goes around it, and we find ourselves using it. I mean, once upon a time, a tablet was something that you got from the doctor, wasn't it? Now you write letters on it. And there's a whole stack of things, and you know what they are. How we talk about health, how we talk about food, and of course, the shift that has happened about how we speak of God or not, as the case may be. So how do we find a way of talking about Jesus that is memorable enough and easy to use? Sadly, our language within the church doesn't connect well with those who are outside of the church or who are new Christians, which is why many not yet Christians and new Christians feel uncomfortable or even lost when they come into a church. The fact that the church does have its own culture is unavoidable. Get any group of people together for any length of time and a way of talking and understanding evolves. I have a group of friends who are all radio hams, and they have a language all of its own. Some of it I understand. And then of course I'm a tramper and I'm away with the tramping, and there's a whole another core language that's used there about being out in the hills. And no doubt the groups of which you belong to, and the words you use and how you choose to use them has a bearing on the activities that you're participating in, and therefore the culture of which that is part of. What we need to do is be intentional about the language we use and the culture it creates, and at the same time make sure that as Christians it is one that disciples people as Jesus did. Now last week I spoke of life shapes. Better grab this. Life shapes as a discipling tool. And it forms the basis of a discipling language. This approach to discipleship is effective because it carefully summarizes the basic Christian life. It gives a way of talking about faith, God, and how we know Him, and what difference that makes to our life. I'm not going to explain these life shapes in detail, but here's an example. It's in fact the first one. First life shape. It's called the learning circle. And it gives us a way to process the things God has been teaching us and to help us to live it out day by day. And I know there's just a whole bunch of words there. Don't try and work them out. But it's a simple illustration, and in each of those words there is something of life-giving value based in the scriptures. We must be clear that this language of life shapes is not a program, but a way of thinking. It's not an addition to what we do, but becomes the way we talk and live the Christian life, like prayer, evangelism, relationships, spiritual gifts, spiritual health, and so on. Life shapes are weird. I mean, they're really weird. But for those who have used them, they work by defining faith and giving a tool to understand and explain it. You see, each shape is a kind of a portal with an endless number of scripture passages, stories and practices attached. Now let's be clear, the biggest question about someone isn't whether he or she should teach for 5 hours on a silly shape. You'll be glad I won't. The question is, does his or her life actually look like Jesus in the teaching of scripture? And can this person multiply that into someone else's life? That was Jesus' plan. And so it is ours as well. One reviewer said that when he first read about life shapes, he thought that they were a weird, cheesy, pop Christian fad. There was no way I was ever going to use them, he said. I find it strange, and everyone else I talk to will find it strange. But the life shapes eventually won him over. These shapes, and here's a bunch of them, I had some last week, are helpful in remembering the important truths of Scripture and give us the confidence in talking about these truths. It's like, you remember when we were doing sharing your faith and we did all those doodles on napkins? You know how we talked about that? It's the same idea. As you're talking with somebody, you just kind of draw a picture and you just let it all happen, because that's the kind of way people work these days. The three aspects of our relationships, up to God, in our own growth, and outward to others, are taught through a triangle. The fivefold gifts of the ministry, ministry gifts, are taught with a pentagon. The four stages of discipling others are connected with a square. The fact that the shapes used make it easy to remember, especially in our visual culture. Indeed, in the past 100 years, there's been a shift in how we remember and learn. Now we store large amounts of information, stories and data by attaching them to an image. Our brains are literally wired differently than they were 100 years ago. Our memories are stored and encoded in ways that they weren't in either the oral or written cultures. Because of this, the idea of attaching the teaching of Jesus and Scripture to a few basic images is perfectly in line with how our brains are already hardwired. So they're useful. Life shapes just serve as a helpful explanation of teachings. They're not the complete teaching on a subject. For example, Jesus' teaching on prayer is what is traditionally known as the Lord's Prayer. It is explained by hexagon, and the hexagon is easy to teach and to explain. You could probably do so in less than 5 minutes. However, there are many directions that could be taken to explore prayer in more detail. Life shapes simply help explain some teaching of the Bible so that the focus can be on living out those teachings rather than digging deeper into doctrine. Oh yes, it's a place for study and a place to go deeper. But our need is to help each other live the teaching of Jesus out rather than simply storing up more information in increasingly deeper levels. So my question to you today, amongst other things, is would you like to be part of this discipleship journey? Would you like to be part of a huddle that I spoke of last week, that small leadership discipleship group? Life Shapes will be the tool that we will use. If you'd like to be part of a huddle, please speak with me or Kay. And the other thing that we need to grasp is said right at the beginning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. His heart is that you would seek him and know him. But it's not enough just to know him. There is an expectation in the heart and mind of God that you will tell others about what you know. And all we're talking about in this series has been to put some tools in your hands so that makes that job that much easier. There are people who really do want to know how to live differently. And this is a tool, this is a culture, this is a way of thinking that will enable you to take what you know and what Scripture gives you to make it real for others. Lord Jesus, we want to open our hearts to you in every way. We want to say yes to you. We want to know for certain that when we say, Lord, Lord, you will welcome us because we have, with every ounce of our being, graced by your Spirit, lived each day according to the will of our Father who is in heaven. And we want to please you. And we want to fulfill the commission you've given us to be disciple makers. Help us, Lord, in this journey, that you would fulfill your destiny in us and we would be blocks in your building of your church in this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.